Alrighty, what's up, guys? Welcome to the very first episode of the I Can't Explain podcast. I'm your host, Goda T. In today's episode, we will be diving into film photography. I am joined by my awesome and very talented good friend of mine, Chris Isono. So, hope you guys enjoy. Also, side note, shout out to Eric of Harbors Vintage
for letting us record in the background, probably.
His shop. We are very broke boys.
Yeah,
we don't really have a designated space for all of this to happen.
If you shoot film, you're going to be broke for quite a while.
Yeah, so shout out to Eric. So what is up, Chris? What is up, Isono, Chris?
Can't believe you messed up your own intro.
I know, whatever. Funny. Okay, you know what? Fuck it. Okay, we'll do it again.
Nah, that's cool. Coronavirus is up.
Jesus Christ.
That's kind of been putting a thorn in just everything in daily life other than that.
True. So today we're going to be talking about film photography, just kind of like the basics of it, why it's kind of popular in, you know, pop culture in general right now. We'll just kind of do like a rundown of this.
I guess it's like, I think cameras are like, it's so easy to take a decent picture because everyone has like a really good camera in their phone.
Right.
That I think that's why people are like, you see so many like decently nice pictures that people are like, hey, film has imperfections and character, and that's why people wanna, I don't know, that and like it's definitely a trend, you know.
Yeah,
and people hop on trends and just riding the wave of it right now, but I don't know, I mean it's definitely a good thing, you know, except for driving the prices of cameras up. That's not a good thing.
So off air we were just talking about this.
Yeah,
this particular film, point-and-shoot film camera, it's called the Contax T2, has recently skyrocketed in price.
And I mean, it's the thing is, it's always been like ridiculously expensive.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a really good quality build. It's very sharp, and I guess for people that may not be familiar with this kind of lingo, it's a really good camera overall, and just in general.
And just because one of the Jenners, I don't remember which one, and whatever, but they pulled it out on television, and now that drove the price up to almost double. Frank Ocean shot with a Contax T3 at the Met Gala.
You're right.
Prices went up again, and...
Yeah. We'll give, like, our opinions on, the reason why film is so popular, right now in 2020, and within
Eric
even the
is
last
leaving the room.
The last
it's been it's been on the rise for like
for
a
like
couple
the last,
years.
Yeah, like at least 2 or 3 years easily. Yeah. I mean personally, like I shoot a lot of film. I know you shoot a lot of film.
I shoot quite a bit of film.
Yeah, it. You know, and I think it's just really easy. Is the thing.
I mean, there's debatably so. The cost of entry now to start with point and shoots and like the Fuji Instax, and I think that's like T has just unplugged something. But I don't know. It's like I said, I think it's mainly like people are just riding the wave of it, where part of it's like for the aesthetics, not really for the craft. But
true,
you know, I scan my film border, so I guess that's for aesthetics also. But yeah, I don't know, like it's kind of funny to see like the people now who maybe like 3 years ago you'd be
strictly
really proud of like a film picture you took, and they'd be like, oh, it's okay, it's whatever. Now they're like hitting you up about, hey, I want to start shooting film. Yeah. Should I buy a Canon AE-1?
Right.
Which you should not, because it's a terrible camera.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, no, I think you do have a point in the sense where, you know, yeah, prior to this, like, really boom in film and stuff like that, you know, everybody's like, oh, yeah, like, I have the best digital camera, you know, I shoot Canon, and I have this 5D Mark IV or whatever, right. I have this Nikon D9000
or whatever. I have a Sony, and I take pictures of my camera instead of taking pictures with my camera.
Right, and then now, and then, you know, and then the shift towards...
That's going to make a lot of people mad.
And this shift towards film photography has really taken a hold of, I guess, society and just, like, the sphere of pop culture.
Yeah.
Right? And then, you know, like, so everybody's, like, nowadays, like, everybody's asking, like, oh, what film are you shooting with? Or,
yeah,
you know, what camera are you shooting with?
And it's, I don't know, I think it's cool, definitely. But it's, I don't know, it's... Like, I think it's cool in the sense where, you know, smaller businesses can, like, buy and resell cameras, and
mm-hmm.
I'm against reselling generally, but, right. like, it's, you know, you can find new cameras for, like, good deals. I just bought a camera for a good deal, mm-hmm. Like, $100 off of...
Like, market value.
Market
or whatever.
Value.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's helping... Kodak and Fuji, like, stay afloat.
Right.
They're bringing back like older films like Ektachrome, which was, you know, I hate Ektachrome.
Mm-hmm.
I've never shot a good roll of it, but it's cool to see, like, oh wow, these people are buying a lot of film, let's, you know, bring some back. And ultimately it's a good thing, but
right,
it's, I just don't know how to feel about it, you know.
You know, yeah, and I think that is the thing with people that shoot film at the moment, is that it's rather divisive, you know?
It's...
Because, I mean, film is ridiculously expensive. You know, anybody yeah. that shoots film can understand where we're coming from, where, you know, from the actual purchasing of your camera,
yep.
you know, to the purchasing of film.
Which film you want.
Right, then. And film is not cheap either. You only get, in most rolls, I mean, I guess modern day rolls, you get 36 exposures.
Mm-hmm.
If you're shooting like an expired roll, you get maybe 24.
Yeah.
Give or take maybe one or two shots that will not come out. And yeah. Right, so you have your camera, you have your film that you're actually shooting, which you only get 36 shots on, and then you take it to... You know, a place to get
developed,
and then if you don't have like a scanner, you get it scanned.
Yep.
Right. So like, it's just kind of like a lot of money along this process of finally, and then, you know, so you get it developed, you get it scanned, and then you finally get the final image, and then your roll was blank because you loaded it wrong or something. And I think we can all relate. You know, when we first started shooting, like, that's the worst. Anybody that shoots film will understand
you,
that's the worst feeling in the world.
I'll
it's
tell
like
you,
it's just like, imagine if you were cooking, you were baking a cake,
God.
And then the cake, like, it came out like burnt out of the oven or something.
So I'll tell you a story real quick. So this camera I bought is a Mamiya 645 Pro.
Okay.
It's a system camera, which I don't think anyone was really going to understand what that means, but
get into that a little bit
yeah.
later on. Yeah.
But I bought it for a really good price.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, $100-$150 below market value. And I was really excited. I bought my favorite film, color film for daytime, which is Pro 400H.
Okay.
Exposed it, and
right.
I loaded it, and I was excited. I shot some pictures of a friend in SF, and I shot some scenes, like night scenes. It was really great. I come back home. I shot.
Oh, do you hear that? Oh, JK. Yeah.
Oh. I shot about 13 rolls, including that one roll of medium format. Went to my local film lab, dropped all of it off, paid a stupid amount of money to get all of them developed. And I go back a day later. I'm like, hey, how's it going? He says, good. I look at the envelope, 12 rolls, that one roll of medium format pictures is blank, and those shots are forever lost. I can't get them back. And
see, yeah, and that's the other thing about film
that's
is
like
that
the
like
worst
you don't get like the instant gratification. You know, you're kind of just.
But like I said, like I feel like because you can take a picture so easily on the iPhone, like instantly, and it's like it's already like a half decent picture. I think people are really like that's what they're kind of looking for. That's why there's been such a shift towards film. Also, and I realize also that T and I sound like a bunch of hipsters. And
oh yeah, that is definitely not that is not the intention with this podcast.
We're just really salty that we can't buy contacts for $300 anymore.
No, yeah, and then I think what it is too is that because there's such a demand and there's like the popularity of film photography is, you know, on the rise, right? That just, you know, gives opportunities for people to, I guess, gouge prices on film, on cameras, mm-hmm. on, you know,
just
parts
anything.
For your cameras,
yeah,
and such.
Just anything, like, kind of related to it. Like, I don't know, man. Like, I like to shoot a lot of film at night. I like to shoot at night in general.
Mm-hmm.
And, there's a shutter release cable for the Mamiya.
Uh-huh.
That's $85, and I have to buy it. Yeah, I'm like
$85.
You can't see it, but T's face is in absolute shock.
See, and so I guess for people that may not be familiar with what a shutter release cable is, it's basically a cable that you connect to your camera.
Yep.
That acts as a like a shutter button, basically.
Yep.
So it will, you know, open and close the shutter on the camera for you, and that's $85 for
yeah, which is absolutely absurd. Because
this is giving me anxiety
already. I have because you can go to Treehouse for Hawaii listeners. If anyone listens to this, you can go to Treehouse and get one for like $12, and even then, that's kind of expensive. You can go on eBay and get one for $5.
True.
So it's I don't know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, ultimately, I think it's a good thing.
Right.
That, you know, film, people are kind of catching this wave and, like, you know, it keeps it alive because, you know, a few years ago, people were like, oh, man, Kodak's gonna,
right.
You know, Kodak went bankrupt, I think, right?
I believe so,
yeah.
Yes.
And, like, Fuji was like, oh, no one's buying our film, so they discontinued a bunch of film.
Right, yeah, they discontinued, like, probably one of my favorite films, Natura 16.
Yep, I still
which
have
I,
one roll.
Yeah, I think I only shot one roll ever, but that's probably, like...
the best nighttime film there ever was.
Yeah, hands down, because the colors of it were really nice, the tones.
Minimal grain, too.
Yeah.
It's such a high ISO film.
But. Yeah, very minimal grain, which is like, you know, when it looks like there's like sand on your image,
but
yeah,
I also
very minimal
like grains. So I don't know. Kind of.
But transitioning into I get away from how expensive film is, though. Let's talk about like the exposure that I guess individuals are able to experience when shooting with film, because from my understanding,
come down the stairs.
From my understanding, there's a there's definitely been an upswing of the amount of, I guess, Instagram or social media accounts, and just different like entities that have developed just specifically around film.
Eric has grabbed a set of clothes hangers
oh,
and is hanging up shirts.
Oh, no.
What's that?
Oh.
Oh yeah.
Rapper photographer.
Rapper photographer. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, or even like Travis Scott.
I don't.
Yeah, like all these famous people that you know shoot film, and do you think that plays a role in, I guess, the popularity of film? Because
definitely.
During
yeah.
I'm going to you know blatantly and very un whatever, I'm gonna plug it. So during our first episode with my first episode with Eric, we talked about how the popularity of vintage items can be kind of like accounted to because of, I guess, a lot of famous people getting into vintage stuff.
Yo, that shirt is fire. I mean, that's...
So, I mean, you know, so... I guess, what is your take on that, though? Like, you know, famous people getting involved with...
I feel like that's film. Always kind of... I don't know. Okay, so I feel like that's always kind of been... Not really a problem, but that's just how marketing kind of worked, you know? Like, I can't really give an example, but... I don't know. That's kind of just how things work, you know? And... like photojournalists have always like stuck to using Leicas, and mm-hmm. that has kept the price of Leicas up. I would know. I have one sitting on a pair of shoes right here.
And then just to give people an idea of, because you know, like the I want to like make things as like clear as possible for our listeners. So Leica is like a very High quality,
world-renowned German brand that makes rangefinder cameras.
Yeah, and then, so, I guess in your situation specifically, how much did you pay for your Leica?
Oh
no.
The body itself was about $2,000. Just the body, no lens.
$2,000.
The strap is $40, and the lens was $400. And,
so roughly... That setup is like $2,500.
That's a $2,500 camera sitting on a pair of shoes. But anyway, like I said, I feel like there's been influencers throughout history before, like Instagram, you know, obviously.
Right.
And that's kind of just how things worked, you know, like. The Nike Cortez, you know, mm-hmm. that's one example where I'm pretty sure it like won an Olympics event, and then now, you know, they're still making the damn shoes.
Right. I mean, Forrest Gump wore them.
Yeah, they were in Forrest Gump.
Shout out Tom Hanks. I hope you beat Corona.
You got really loud right there.
Yeah. As of this recording, Tom Hanks has Corona. Yeah. Our warmest regards.
They got Gump. But yeah, I mean, so that's always like kind of been a concept that's been around, and I can't really say it's surprising when it comes to like film stuff or camera stuff or I don't know. I just feel like I appreciate photography as an art form,
because
it's the only thing I'm like, only kind of art I'm decently good at.
Oof.
And it's, you know, I've invested a lot of time into practicing photography. I'd say like half of my life at this point.
I think that's like kind of the cool thing about like specifically film photography in 2020. Yeah. Is that there are a lot of people nowadays that can shoot your wedding in digital, and you know they can make it really nice, mm-hmm. but it's like a little bit harder. It's you know, honing your craft a little bit to be able to shoot like your entire wedding on film, which
yeah.
you know I do know people that do that, and yeah. I mean you know, total respect for those people, because you know, like going out there and not being able to see what it is you're shooting immediately. And, oh, you know, yeah. just, like, hoping and crossing your fingers and praying that it comes out. Like, that's ballsy.
That's unimaginable amount of stress.
That is. And, I mean...
That's a lot.
Yeah, lots of respect to individuals that do that. Also, but even, like, our we have our really good friend, Rayma Jaime, who shoots
Shout
film.
Out, Rayma.
Shout out, Rayma. Go follow her on Instagram.
The Portra 160 God.
I know. So fire. Her stuff is super good. You should definitely check her out. But anyways,
we stan Rayma.
Don't mind the plug. Doing it. But No, yeah, I mean, but even, like, people like Reima, she implements it into her photography business and such. You know, she'll shoot for businesses such as Harbor's Vintage. I know she also does, like, Asato Family, Sherbert.
She did one with Sig Zane. That was sick.
Yeah, and then it's on film, though, and it just, you know what I mean? So it looks really nice. It gives it, like, that nice...
It's
the film look in general.
It's a less, like, artificial kind of look, because I feel like, I'm just going to keep saying it, but, like, it's so easy to take pictures on digital that, like, sometimes they're too perfect.
Yeah.
Like, that's why for a while I was just, like, completely trashing my Fuji files, because we both shoot Fujifilm digital cameras.
Yeah, you would artificially add grain. You would purposely.
I was like just making them look as terrible as possible because they look too nice out of camera.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm doing this too much. So I might just pick up film again.
Yeah.
Because, you know, eventually, like with anything, you get tired of it and you try something new and then you go back and the cycle continues. But.
Yeah, but yeah. I think personally for me, that's what I really enjoy about film is that from, like, I mean, there are people out there that do touch up their film stuff. Yeah. But me personally, I don't like touching up my film stuff. I usually just, like, if I'm using it for my portfolio or if I'm using it for social media, it's just straight out of camera. I don't do any kind of touch ups. The only touch up might be cropping.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but even then, like, it's very minimal. But, that's why I personally like shooting. I've been shooting a lot of film recently is because it's very easy.
Yeah.
I don't ever touch it up.
It's definitely, it's a different process, but I think overall it's easier unless you get into self-developing, which is hard.
A totally, you know, separate category of, like, within film photography.
Yeah.
Because that's taking the whole... lab service out of it and you're doing it yourself, so you're going into your own dark room.
Which
and
I highly respect people that self-develop
that self-develop and it comes out really good.
Yeah, because I like self-scanning sucks sometimes. Eric is pointing at something. Oh, he has a gun in his hand. I'm just kidding, it's a price gun. He's pricing shirts. Calm down. But I mean, it's there's, like, I think a lot of people that are getting into film because of influencers or because of us.
Yeah.
Even.
I mean, you know, don't get me wrong. We're not throwing shade at anybody.
I highly doubt it. Own. I highly doubt that people get into film because of Chris and T, but...
Well, I mean,
it's also possible that it's happened. But anyway.
I know. Shout out to those people that are shooting film specifically because of me and Chris.
Which
you are the real homies. If you are shooting film specifically because of us, though, feel free to hit us up.
Yeah.
We'd like to get to know you a little bit.
Or if we already know you and you didn't tell us, why didn't you tell us?
Yeah, why didn't you tell us? What the... That's whack. You should totally have just told us.
But, like I said, like, I forgot what I was saying.
Well, you were talking about self-developing, but yeah, so that's like kind of like this whole...
So, anyway, I feel like people that are starting to get into film at a surface level, because obviously, you know, everyone starts somewhere, and you can't knock them, even though we're bitter about a lot of things, you can't knock them, like, they're keeping the art form alive.
Right.
But I just feel like, To start with something, you gotta realize you're starting on a surface level and there's so many more layers in this film shit. And then,
that kind of appreciation does kind of come with time.
Yeah.
It kind of comes with getting to know the...
It's a lot of patience and learning how to be humble about it, I'd say.
Right.
Eric has grabbed my car keys and removed them from us.
But I think... I think that is the side of film photography that people don't see very often is like the amount of like work that goes into, I guess, creating these photos a lot of times.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I think with film YouTube, which is a whole different thing, I think people are starting to see it
Right.
Channels like Grainy Days.
Yeah, Grainy Days.
Willem Verb, Joe Greer. Yeah,
and there's like that one feedback. Dude out in New York. He's like the Canadian dude.
Canadian.
I can't think of his.
I don't know.
But he talks very monotone and what's up, guys.
That's Willem Verb.
Yes, yeah, that guy.
No, he's from like Belgium or something.
Oh yeah, Belgium.
But yeah, I mean they kind of. For the, like, you can kind of see the behind the scenes of, like, okay, you know, you have to set up and then you have to meet her. And then, you know, they, for the most part, like, they'll, you can kind of get an idea from, of the process of, like, a planned shoot or, like, shooting on purpose versus shooting with a point and shoot.
Right.
Which.
I mean, and then even, like, with shooting it with a point and shoot, though, it's, like, you have to kind of understand what your camera's going to meter it at, and then, yeah. like, from there, kind of, like, compose the image differently.
Yeah.
Versus, like, you know, someone, I mean, but, you know, with a point and shoot, too, it's a little bit different because you can just turn on the flash and be done with it.
Yeah. It's, I don't know, like,
But, yeah, no, I think I definitely do agree with you that there is layers to film photography that I think people don't necessarily see upon like looking at it from the outside.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not fully aware, and even for people that do shoot film, you know, they may not be going down to like that next level.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't blame them, you know, because it is a lot of work.
But yeah, it definitely is, but then it's also kind of like I don't want to use the word poser, and I don't want to attack anybody or call anybody out, but there is definitely kind of like a, if this is all you're shooting, why are you shooting film kind of thing.
Right. I do understand what you mean by
that. Which is, you know, it's undeserved, I'll admit, and like I said, it's mainly just because T and I are hipsters and, you know, whatever. And we're salty about whatever, but, you know, it, I don't know, like, it's kind of like, you could have took the same picture and thrown a VSCO filter on it, which I've seen you do already.
Right, yeah, I mean, I think that's, like, where I think the, I guess, popularity and appreciation for film also comes from.
Yeah.
With, like, apps such as VSCO.
Yeah,
like, Huji or whatever, I think it's called. Is it Huji?
Oh, the Huji wave was crazy. That was
right, and then
there are
like a bunch
Eric's,
of different.
Eric's laughing off camp, off recording right now.
No, but like yeah, I mean, so I think.
I think yeah.
At the very beginning part of like the film wave, there were these like you
even
know apps
before that. I think like I just yeah. I think VSCO was really like the thing that kind of set it off.
Yeah, you know? So low-key VSCO a champion for film photographers.
Well, because their whole thing was before VSCO Cam, they made film presets for Lightroom, right?
Right.
And I've used one, and
ooh.
Yeah, I know.
Ooh, exposed.
I'm talking
you
all
heard
this
it here,
shade.
Folks.
I'm talking
you heard
all
it
this
here first.
I'm talking all this shade, and I did that, so I'm a hypocrite. But anyway. And then VSCO Cam came out and everyone started using C1.
Right.
Which is kind of like a Color Plus clone.
Yeah.
In a way.
Very similar.
Yeah. See, Eric. Eric uses C1 all the time.
You heard it here. You heard Eric of Harbor's Vintage uses
Eric
C1.
Ma does
so if you
not
want your
shoot
images
film.
To look like old Harbor's Vintage lay flat, C1.
But
C1.
But I mean, like, he knows what he's doing. Like, he's running a shop, you know.
Right.
But I think a lot of people tried to pass off their digital work as film, and that's infuriating. That, because...
Yeah, you know, I guess it just like any type of art, it'll happen.
That's
know,
kind of like... That's kind of like, I don't... Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, so kind of transitioning out of this topic, though. Let's talk about, like,
so
I guess, like, the cool, I guess... the cool, I guess, different and like, you know, cool film stocks that have come out of like this nice, film resurgence.
Mm-hmm.
I know, Lomography has a bunch of cool,
they,
They have like the purple chrome or whatever, yeah, or violet so chrome.
Lomo purple.
Yeah. Lomo purple, which I've seen.
It's a very interesting like kind of film.
Yeah, I mean, and yeah. I've seen some really cool images with people using Lomo. Lomo purple.
Yeah.
Lomo chrome purple or whatever, and it, I mean, and it's a very acquired taste.
Yeah.
A very specific kind of subject, but you know, stuff like that. So like Lomo chrome purple.
And then there's also Lomo 800. I saw this one photographer from LA. He stopped shooting portrait 800 because he liked Lomo 800 that much better, which is like a big compliment. I'd say.
Yeah. I mean, life hacks though. I don't know if we should say this on air.
No, I know what you're saying. I know what you're
thinking. Okay, if you want to know what I was going to say, feel free to hit me up in the DMs. I'm not going to say it on
here. We're just going to say it, and T's going to censor it. We're not saying it.
We're going to bleep this out.
So Lomo film is basically a great value brand Kodak film, but...
Bum, bum, bum.
You're bleeping that out. I'm gonna make sure you bleep that out.
We're gonna bleep all of this out. Well, all of that out. Anyways, moving on. But yeah, so
But yeah, Lomography, and then there's Cinestill, which took Kodak Vision and made it possible to shoot, you know, and develop with C41 or whatever the chemical mix is.
Yeah, and then like Cinestill has like a cool like red like filter
halation kind of thing.
Yeah,
very
like tungsten. There you go, tungsten.
It's a
filter.
It's a very interesting color balance that also is kind of an acquired taste.
It kind of is, yeah.
They have a daytime film which is gorgeous.
Ooh, Cinestill 50D.
They have a black and white film which is also gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. There's this other film that I wanted to mention. I have yet to shoot it though because this particular shop is based out of Melbourne, Australia, but they have this film, what is it called? They have their own, like, in-house film, if I can find
Eric
it.
Eric and I were laughing at T just then. So while T I'm just going to keep going on. So there's... in terms of like new film that's come out, Lomography has released like a Metropolis kind of film. They rate it as a daytime film. It's like a variable rating. I actually found out about this from Linus and his camera. Shout out Linus. Ooh. But yeah, it's like an interesting film. It looks like 30s color film, but not color.
Mm-hmm.
But with the emphasis on like kind of red tones.
Ooh.
Wait,
what is this film stock called?
It's called Lomo, like, Metropolis, I think.
Oh, is this the one? It's, like, a variable ISO?
Yeah. It's pretty interesting. Like, huh. I'm not sure if I like the images, but it is something, like, kind of different, and I can't see, like, a time and a place for it, but, like, I'm not sure.
But, I mean, I think the cool part of it is that it's, like, a variable ISO.
Yeah.
So, like, you can kind of set it. So, basically, what this means is that you can set it kind of to whatever, like, brightness you need, whether it's, like, you know, super early in the morning or, like, mid-afternoon.
Or, like, mid-afternoon.
Yeah. So, I think that's kind of cool. I found it.
You found it.
We're going to plug this. It says it's called Film Never Die. And they have, like, their own...
Is that the shop name?
Yeah, it's a shop name, okay, but that's also the name of their... Oh, no, sorry. And then they have, like, their own in-house film, which I think is super cool. And it's Film Never Die, Edo, I-R-O, ISO 400.
Edo.
Yeah, and it's only 27 exposures. But the images are just really nice. Like, these... Check it out. I'm going to show Chris real quick. But these tones are just really nice.
Oh, wow.
Even for, like, portrait use, too. I think that's what people kind of are, like, I feel like that's why people really like portraits, because
like
when they use it for portraits, the skin tones are really nice. But that, yeah, I've yet to...
Someone just opened a canned beverage. I think that was...
I have yet to order a roll. It's only $10, but it's shipped from Australia, and we live in the middle of the Pacific Ocean.
It kind of looks like... I want to say it looks like a portrait, but like almost slightly colder tones.
Yeah.
Which is...
But I think that that's cool, though. It's like this, you know, this film resurgence has allowed for, you know, like mom and pop film shops to be able to like come up with their own film stocks. And that's just one example of many examples that are out there. I'm pretty sure there are many other, you know, film shops out there doing their own film stocks.
And there's so many different variances of film. Like we haven't even gotten into slide film, which I hate shooting.
Right, yeah, I mean, you know, we are running a little bit long, but we'll just, like, run down real quick, because, so there are different sizes of film for people that may not be familiar with it.
The most common one is 35.
Yeah, so that's 35 millimeters, so that's the one you typically see people running around with using their Canon AE-1s
or their point-and-shoots.
Their point-and-shoots or whatever, so that's 35 millimeter film. That's just, like, you know, usually, typically, you can get 36 exposures out of it, 37...
If you're lucky.
Yeah. So that's 35 millimeter film. There's also 120.
Medium format 120 film. Yeah, there's 220 film also, but I don't think anyone shoots 220 anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's 120. And 120
film.
Yeah,
and then the mono exposure is usually like 12, well, anywhere from 12 to like 24-ish, right?
No, it's like... Okay, so it's weird because 120 has different sizes. 120 is 6x5, which is what I shoot.
Right.
That's about 15 exposures. 6x6, that's 12-ish. 6x7, that's like 10. Mm-hmm. And 6x9, nice, which is like 8.
Yeah.
Or 7.
Yeah, so it kind of varies because it's like all the same formatting but different frame size.
It's hard to explain, but
yeah, so even for like someone like me that, you know, has been shooting film for about a year or so or two, like I'm not 100% familiar with 120 format, but that's like medium format. It's bigger higher negative quality photos, usually a lot sharper than 35 millimeter.
When you hear someone talk about like a full frame camera, like if they have a Sony A7, that's 35 millimeter size, and then medium format's bigger than that. So,
yeah,
and like a full frame image is like amazing,
right?
But then imagine like that, but like
bigger,
three times the size.
Yeah, bigger.
It's crazy.
Sharper, badder.
work it.
And then there's also it's not as common or popular nowadays, but there's a 110 millimeter or 110.
Yeah, the 110's weird.
110 is weird. It's like Like, it's, like, half... Is it, like, half frames?
I think it's smaller than half frame.
Right, it's smaller than half frames.
It's, like, for, like, spy cameras.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know, I mean, funny story, though. Really random, super off topic. But I remember when I was a kid, like, this was, like, when I was maybe, like...
That was last year.
Six or seven. Six or seven. I remember, like, hanging out at my grandma's house. And, like, she used to live in Waikiki. And she used to have, like, those, like, film cameras, and I used to think that that was the coolest thing ever. Like I would like take it everywhere I go and go.
But did you ever like take any, like, the pictures? Did they ever come out from it or? No!
I didn't know how to load it.
Oh.
I think.
Well, I think even
when
we were.
It was one of those cameras, like it was one of those like kind of like, you know, things that you just have around.
Yeah.
That's just.
But
like,
I think even
cool.
when we were kids, like, I don't think 110 was really a format that anyone.
Yeah, but I remember she just had the camera, and I don't remember why or whose camera it was, but it was just there.
Speaking of
random
like camera finds, I found a Kodak Brownie in my...
What?
So the funny story, I was with a mutual friend of ours.
Mm-hmm.
She drove me home.
Uh-huh.
And then my garage was leaking.
Your
water.
Garage?
Yeah. So
your garage?
Here in my garage. You know, I have space for vehicles.
Okay.
And then my front door, and then there's like some side storage.
Mm-hmm.
There's water filters in that side storage, mm-hmm. and the filter busted, so it's leaking water.
Mm.
So I opened it up, I patched it up because I'm like low key a plumber, but not really.
Oh.
And then
if you need a handyman, call Chrissy Sono.
Please don't. Unless you're paying.
Ooh.
Anyway, hey, Eric.
Eric's like making a mental note of this. He's like, I will call Chris if I need something fixed.
I can wire your lights for you also, but
or if I need a coffee machine.
Or if you need a coffee machine.
Oh yeah, if you need a coffee tech.
Anyway, and then so I had to take some stuff out, let it dry obviously, because stuff got wet, and I just found like a stash of super old cameras from like the 30s, and it was incredible. But I don't know if I can use them now. Anyway, continuing on with our discussion about film sizes and formats, there's also large format, which I know nothing about.
It's a completely different animal.
I can't explain it.
I can't. We have failed as the I Can't Explain podcast.
we'll get Brandy Liu on here to...
Oh, yeah. Brandon Liu.
To talk about large format, because he's... probably shot large format.
We'll do a
three person episode that
we'll
day.
Do a three man podcast
plus Eric, so four. I don't know.
Yeah, first three man podcast will be with Eric though. Yeah, for sure. Most for def sure. We'll talk about something we all mutually know. Teasers. Anyways,
what do we all mutually know?
I don't know, streetwear maybe.
I don't know. According to Alex Hong, I don't know how to dress.
Oh. Oof, that's a baby. Oh,
shout out Alex Hong.
Oh jeez.
I mean, low key true, but yeah.
And then, to kind of end like this discussion on formatting, there's also cameras that shoot half frames as well,
which is bonkers.
Which is really bonkers. It's really uncommon, but basically imagine that, like, so. You're looking at like a photo frame or whatever. You literally chop it in half.
Yeah.
And that's what certain cameras do. So instead of getting 36 exposures, you double it and you get 72 exposures.
I'm glad that you did the quick math on that, because I sat here for 10 seconds trying to do it and I couldn't do it. But yeah.
Little did you know though that I've been thinking about that equation for the last maybe 5 minutes or so. I'm joking.
Well, you're actually in college, so. Yeah.
But anyways, so they're so they're just a variety of different formats of film out there.
But then there's also the wiggle cameras, like the Nishika.
Oh yes.
Whatever, which is also a half frame camera, but it has like four lenses on the front, and it. If you go on Instagram and you see those wiggly images, that's how that's shot. Eric and T are... Eric's pointing at a price tag. T is trying to grab it.
This just shows that I'm terrible at charades.
I have no idea what's going on.
And I think we're going to kind of end this segment with like really popular film photographers in the social zeitgeist.
That we can vouch for, I guess.
That we can vouch for.
Okay.
I mean, as far as, like, local photographers, Mark Kushimi of Flux of Nella Media Group, NMG.
Flux, right? Contrast, whole nine.
Flux, Contrast, all of that good stuff. But Mark Kushimi, if you'd like to be on the show, hit me up, man.
Me too. Let's be friends.
No, but Mark Kushimi, he's a... very well-known photographer in Hawaii and probably maybe in the world, around the world, hopefully.
Definitely in, like, Japan,
I think that'd be sick.
Also.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but he does, like, these really cool landscape photos on film, where it's just like, a horizontal lines.
He also does, like, kind of street photography.
Yeah.
And just street posts, like, really nice
and
scenes.
Portrait stuff.
Portraits. Just very, like, casual daily kind of photography.
Yeah, so Mark Kushimi.
Beautiful.
Yeah, these are just, like, some recs to check out some really good film photographers. Because me and Chris are good, but there are definitely people that are...
I'm garbage. Like,
light years ahead of us on as far as technique, as far as compositions go.
Yeah,
and just
sure.
Name recognition as well. There's also Mel Zhang. She's a really, really, really good photographer. She's shot for a multitude of different brands, but the brands that people might be a little bit more familiar with is Information. It's
Information.
A Hawaii clothing brand. Moon Collective, a brand based out of
somewhere.
SF, I believe. Yeah. SF, San Francisco.
Shout out Benjamin.
I mean, she does a lot of traveling herself, though. I know she travels to Europe a lot. Her photographs are amazing. It's just, it's like publication quality stuff.
There's definitely also,
definitely a worth a follow. Mark Kushimi as well. Mark Mel Zhang. Any
Casey
recommendations?
Cowie, one half of Tigers in the Sky. Ooh. Amazing photographer. From Hawaii, lives in Long Beach. Just incredible images.
Yeah.
As far as like, Issei, gotta plug the homie.
Yeah, Issei, plugging the homie.
Making incredible work.
Enzo Hama on Instagram.
he has the most ridiculous username, but he has just beautiful images.
No, yes, definitely so. And then I guess we're gonna kind of end it on like a very big name, Taku.
Oh.
Taku, he's a music producer.
Primarily a producer,
but
makes beats,
he also has his
owns a barbershop.
But he also has his the separate entity known as 823, where he it's like a record label, and like a
it's like an art collective. Kind
yeah,
of
it's
thing.
An art collective, I guess. That's
it's
thank
like
you for
Australian.
Helping.
I think he's Australian, but like Australian odd future, but like more calm and mature.
Yeah, but his photos are really good though. I mean, I think he does like this really cool thing where, I mean, they recently, not recently, but maybe about a year ago or two, maybe in 2018, they released their own film stock, and it's basically expired rolls of film that they had redone.
They only made like 100. Or sent out 100 or something.
Something like that. It was very extremely limited. But I think what's really cool and I really appreciate is that they'll repost other people's like film photos that they took on their film stock.
Yeah.
And I think that's really cool. It gives opportunities to people that may not have been given opportunities.
Definitely.
On a regular basis.
Yeah.
Or in a regular setting. So that's really cool. And it also comes along with that ring, name recognition of Taku, and 823.
I think 823
label.
Some hashtags you can follow. Before we get to that, shout out Todd Heido, the GOAT of nighttime like scene photography.
Yeah.
I'm lucky to have bought his book.
Ooh.
House Hunting.
Ooh.
Which is, you know, it's just a beautiful collection of images. And
oh, I totally forgot. We didn't. You know, we're gonna end this. Okay, we're gonna, before we end the segment, we want to talk about Double Exposures real quick. Double Exposures. It's basically, it's pretty self-explanatory. It's basically when you expose an image twice, and like, they're really cool.
I apologize for this podcast.
Yeah, this format's
place.
Really bad. We don't really have
this is episode 001.
01, yeah, exactly.
So.
No, but Double Exposures, if you want to help me out with this, Chris. But basically, it's just like, yeah, double exposing an image.
So there's a lot of different ways you can do this. Some cameras have like a built-in multiple exposure setting. If not,
You take the picture and
take the picture,
rewind it,
you rewind it, and then
you
expose it again, and it's like weird.
Yeah.
But
I mean, yeah, when it comes to double exposure stuff though, the homie Reed Define definitely does some really cool double exposure stuff on his Instagram recently.
I wish that like I knew how to do them better, because they're like,
yeah,
incredible.
I mean, and that too, like you were saying, like film photography has like layers to it.
Yeah.
And I think double exposures is like, again, one of those layers. And
it's
really,
it is
cool.
One of those, like,
it's like the it's like a mastery kind of a situation.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that, I guess just film photography in general, and just photography in general, and just any kind of art form, is just one of those things that it takes time to master and to get really good at.
For sure.
And then, you know, again, it's just, you know, I mean, we want to encourage people to find your own niche, really. You know, I think that's what it is, you know, in this society nowadays, is finding your own niche. You know, so taking what might be popular, but making it your own thing.
Yeah.
I think that's the key thing.
Don't be to anyone in Hawaii, don't take pictures of the same palm trees and same sunset and same beach. Like,
or if you are, like, get a different angle.
Yeah.
Change it up.
No, just don't do it. Like, we've seen enough. I'm kidding. But, yeah. It's definitely, like, find out what you like shooting and stop. And don't shoot, like, what everyone else has already shot. And, another disclaimer, because this has to be said, uh-oh, I think. Like T said, we're not trying to discourage anyone.
Yeah, no, that is definitely not the point
like
of this.
Like, we're 100% on board with everybody, like, shooting film. We love it. You know, it pushes the art form. It keeps it alive, which is... Eric just sat on something. But, you know, it's a good thing. It keeps it alive, and it keeps it around, you know, so hopefully, like, another generation can start shooting film.
Right.
Which would be bonkers.
Yeah.
No,
I mean, yeah, and film is just cool.
It's all about being humble. It's all about just being patient and learning. Mm-hmm. And, you know, don't gas up your own work.
Yeah.
I mean, you can, but...
You know, yeah, and I think it's...
I feel like, you know, the work is... way better, at least to me, when you know you kind of just let it out and have it coexist, and
right,
you know,
yeah. So sorry, I don't mean to cut
yeah,
you
yeah,
but ahead. I mean, on that note though, I mean, we're gonna kind of wrap it up. So as we're wrapping this up though,
everyone,
you know,
Leica,
there might be people M6s. Listening huh
nothing
there might be people listening that are like extremely unfamiliar with film photography, and that, you know, maybe after this it might have piqued their interest or whatever. So from one film photographer to another, I guess, you know, what are some cool tips or hints that you might want to give someone that's just getting into film photography?
I would say practice it as much as you can, like buy a camera and yeah, just take it around with you everywhere, and also like just ask questions.
Mm.
You know, go do your research, ask questions. Like, today, actually, someone hit my DMs.
Mm-hmm.
And shout out this dude. But he hit my DMs and he asked me about film scanning. And I was, you know, more than happy to just kind of tell him, like, the pros and cons of, like,
yeah, I mean, that within itself is an art form.
But yeah, like, just ask questions and just be respectful and approach people, like, you know, just be nice.
Yeah.
Just ask questions, be nice, and don't be afraid to, like, take criticism also.
Yeah.
You know?
No, that's sick, man.
Yeah. I feel like that's, like, a really... Because people are very sensitive.
Mm.
And...
Can be, yeah. People can be.
And, like, I would be mad if someone said your photo is garbage, too. But...
Right.
Then it's also kind of a learning experience, because...
True. I mean, yeah, it's all in just, like, how in the way you phrase it, too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a key thing.
Yeah, but criticism and just asking questions are very helpful, and then just practicing and being patient.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lots of practice, lots of patience. Mm-hmm. I also want to say too. I think we might have mentioned it before, but don't get discouraged if your role comes out blank.
Yeah.
Because just know that everybody has done that at least.
Everyone
once in
has had at least five blank roles.
Yeah, even the best of the best film photographers have had a role come up blank at least once in their life.
Yeah.
So don't feel discouraged. Just practice.
And then also another thing, just look out for inspo, you know?
Mm.
Look at books, watch movies, listen to music.
Yeah.
If something else can inspire, like, your images, then
right,
that's, you know, that's really great.
Yeah.
I'd say.
And I would say experiment. Experiment. Go wild.
Yeah.
You know, try different things. Whether it's overexposing, underexposing. Just trying different things, different subjects, different film stocks in this situation.
Yeah.
But yeah, on that note, has been another episode of I Can't Explain podcast.
That was like an hour.
Yeah, that was 55 minutes long. But yeah, so this has been another episode. I am your host, Gota T. Thank you again to my co-host for today, Mr. Chris Isono.
Yeah.
Shout out to Mr. Eric Ma of Harbors Vintage for letting us record in his shop once again.
I'm probably gonna.
Yeah, and until next time. I don't know. We'll figure out an outro. Okay, bye.
Shoot film.